And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. So we read from Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 8. That's page 907. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Well, may God bless his word to us. Just a reminder that when I've been taking the midweek meeting on a monthly basis, we've been considering the subject of guarding the heart. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And what have we been seeing in the previous months? Just a quick recap. Guarding against fretfulness, taking our theme from Psalm 37. And guarding against impatience and anger. And last month, from the first of the temptations of Jesus, guarding against selfishness. Well, we continue to look at the second temptation. I don't know if you've seen the film Duel by Steven Spielberg. It's an early Steven Spielberg film, made, I think, in the 70s, and it made a great impression on me when I saw it. The storyline is very simple. A driver overtakes a huge lorry, and then the lorry overtakes the driver, and the driver overtakes the lorry again, and then becomes a duel between the huge anonymous lorry and the driver. And the lorry driver in the huge lorry intimidates the driver, and it's a duel between the two, and quite staggering, really. And I see this as a kind of picture of the devil attempting to intimidate and pursue the Christian. And he so works so subtly in our hearts that sometimes we're not aware of his pursuit of us when we become sensitive to ourselves, or become fretful or angry or impatient or given over to thoughtlessness of others. We don't realize, but it's the devil's pursuit of us, and we need to guard our hearts against this. And so we're going to look at this second temptation, and the subject then is guarding your heart against compromise. Guarding your heart against compromise. Here the devil again comes secondly to Jesus, and this is what we read. The devil, verse 5. The devil, taking up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory. And for this it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." The temptation is to compromise. It's to acknowledge Satan's kingdom over and apart from God's kingdom. Now, it's a wonderful thing to realize how powerful God's word is. It speaks to our condition, doesn't it? It's unique in this respect. If we're all Christians here, I'm sure of this. We've all discovered, haven't we? We've all discovered that the Bible speaks to our hearts. It speaks to our condition. And perhaps we hear a message and we kind of thinking in advance of what the preacher's going to say. And we think to ourselves, well, what about that point? And suddenly he makes that point. And later on in the message, you think, now, he hasn't touched upon this. And then he does. And then unbeknown to you, the preacher makes an application based upon the passage. And it catches you on the blind side. And the power of the word penetrates and cuts the heart. We've all had that experience, haven't we? I have, and I'm sure you have as well. It's a wonderful thing, and it is miraculous that this happens. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts to the dividing of soul and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It judges our motives. It knows the real me. It knows the real you. And so is it in these temptations. Though these happen to Jesus, they happen to us. And as he defeated the enemy of our souls by ordinary means through the word of God, so may we defeat the enemy too. So let's look at this briefly together. This fifth message on guarding the heart. Guarding your heart against compromise. This was firstly a real temptation. This was a real temptation. The first temptation, turn these stones into bread, was an assault on Jesus' appetite. This is an assault on his ambition. Now, the question is raised, was this a real temptation? Was it literal? What did Jesus actually see? Now, that's a very interesting point. We're told here that he takes him up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How did that actually happen? Well, we don't altogether know how to answer that adequately. Was this an assault on his imagination? Was this a vision? Was this in our Lord's mind? It's not easy. No doubt we know that our Lord saw the sin-damaged world in which he lived with great grief and sorrow. And his rule and reign is going to end this. And some commentators make this point, and it's a valid one. Whether a vision or not, it was real. It was true. And Satan allures Jesus with the prospect of power. And this is very alluring to so many in the world today. How tempting for us is position. How often has that filled our minds, perhaps our careers? We anticipating promotion. And we are kind of speculating how this will play out. And will this mean a move? It will mean a salary increase. New opportunities will come. And we are kind of anticipating this. And we're being snared by it. Because it can become too important in our own hearts and minds, can't it? The lust for power. And in a presidential election year, politicians are eaten up with this, aren't they? The temptation to compromise becomes overwhelming. Well, yes, says your boss, you may have to cut corners. You mustn't be so assiduous in your Christian faith. Just keep quiet and keep your head down and we'll see you all right. Well, the temptation is to compromise. And this may surprise you, power politics is not unknown in the church. Strangeness. But true. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying of a friend of his who's a long time member of the congregation of this church. And he saw him on occasion. He said, would you like to become a member? You've been here for so long. Would you like to become a member? And the person says, oh no, I don't like the politics. Well, it's obviously been bruised and battered somewhere. But there is such a thing as power politics in a church. It was seen even in the group of disciples with Jesus. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 34. And this is what we're told. And he called his disciples, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. And we know, don't we, on several instances, there was an argument between the disciples. Who's going to be greater? Who's going to be more important? Who's going to sit on my right, on Jesus' right and Jesus' left? And so, we've got to guard our hearts against compromise and the lust for power and the spiritual damage this can bring to us. It's a real temptation. And the second thing we can say, this was a deceitful temptation. This was a deceitful temptation. And this is what the evil one said. All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Well, is that true? Or is that accurate? I don't think it is. We do know this from comparing scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2 and the opening verses of that chapter. And you he made alive who once were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And what does he work in the hearts of the sons of disobedience? A desire for earthly glory. This is what is in the hearts and minds of the sons and daughters of disobedience. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, again another verse which helps us here. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, we're seeking one glory or another. We're seeking the glory of ourselves, which is idolatry, which leads to compromise, or we're seeking the glory of Christ. We're taken up either with the kingdom of one, which is our own selfish kingdom, or the kingdom of God. The devil has power, but it's not a sovereign power. And that alone belongs to God. There's partial truth here, but it's a larger degree of deceit. And we realise, don't we, because Jesus told us that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, John chapter 8. So never believe the devil, even if you think he's telling you the truth, because his lies are alluring. And they've snared many. We can go to history. The whole history of the human race is an illustration of the alluring deceit of the devil. Tempting compromise. Here is some. Alexander the Great promised the world, and in the end he was buried in a pauper's grave. Napoleon, ruler of all Europe, dies in exile. Adolf Hitler, promising a 1,000-year Reich, and dies 12 years into it by committing suicide. So the devil offers to Jesus a poison chalice, and Jesus sees this is so. It is a deceitful temptation. So let us be on our guard. The third thing we can say, this was an idolatrous temptation. It gives us insight into the nature of the devil. He has an insatiable appetite for power. And here we see the devil's pride. I will give to you. And here is a temptation to idolatry as well. And all their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. How evil this is. This is what the devil wants, of course. To be taken up with our own kingdom, with our own glory, with earthly glory. He wants men and women to worship him. They're fooled into this. The Brit Awards. The Oscars. Golden Globes. Men delight in this. Women delight in this, don't they? It's another form of idolatry. And you know, the enemy of our souls, the devil, is never satisfied. He's never satisfied with all the countless millions he has in his grip, are deluded by him and worshipping him. He wants more. He wants me. He wants you. He wants your children. So he wants your grandchildren. He wanted the Lord Jesus. And if Jesus capitulated here, where would we be? We certainly couldn't have been here this evening. In church history, there's so many examples of compromise. Just a bow. A bow will do it. In the first century, Christians were commanded to worship the emperor. Emperor worship with one pinch of salt. Just one pinch of salt. You can have fingers crossed behind your back and not mean it, but just go through the motions. Compromise. Just go through the motions. And many wouldn't. And were martyred for their faith. And you say, well, that would never happen today. Well, it happened in the 1930s in Korea. Korean believers were obliged to bow in worship to the Japanese emperor. And thousands refused. And they were martyred as a result. Do you see that the devil always seeks to rob God of his glory, to rob Jesus of his glory? It's always the case. Well, let's refuse the alluring deceit of the enemy and give glory to Jesus, give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, and refuse our own glory. It's so subtle because our pride is engaged in this, which we must put to death by God's grace. Exodus 20. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. It was an idolatrous temptation. It was a self-indulgent temptation. Fourthly, it was a temptation for the Lord Jesus to get the crown without the cross. To get the crown without the cross. In a perverse way, the devil actually acknowledges the need the world has for a king. And what a better king than Jesus. But here's a profound misunderstanding that the devil has and always will have. You see, the kingdom of the devil is of this world. And the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. The kingdom of the devil is material. And the kingdom of Christ is spiritual. The kingdom of the devil is temporary. The kingdom of Christ is eternal. And the kingdom of the devil is established by force. We see that in Syria, sadly. The kingdom of Christ is established by Jesus' sacrifice. The devil says, assert yourself. And Jesus says, lay down your life. Have you given to yourself to Jesus with no strings attached? My wife and I are reading through Philippians. It's a lovely passage to read through. We did this evening. And that wonderful hymn in Ephesians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is, not will be, is now. This is something the devil cannot understand. But the Christian says, yes, Jesus is Lord. And this temptation was just self-indulgent. And this is what we've got to guard our hearts against, compromise, friend. We've got to guard our hearts against pursuing our own glory. You know, we're all treasure seekers. We're either seeking earthly treasure or our heavenly Saviour, seeking the pearl of great price. This is self-indulgent. And fifthly, this was a cheap temptation. Again, as I say, this was a temptation to dodge and avoid and resist the cross. The devil did not then and does not now understand the cross. And the Apostle Paul, writing and acknowledges this in 1 Corinthians, and says this: the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. The devil cannot understand these things. But to us, it's our glory, isn't it? This is something that so thrills us and encourages us and delights us. Jesus would face the cross, and he would experience death, and that is our glory. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. Oh, having that central in our hearts and minds day by day is a great encouragement to guard our hearts against all these pressures that we've been thinking about in these recent months. It was a cheap temptation. Compromise is cheap. Balaam, if you remember the story of Balaam in the Old Testament, the arch compromiser, the sad and pathetic figure in many ways. No, this temptation is telling us that God must be supreme in my life and in yours. Success is the price many people pay for compromise. If that's the case, better fail for the Lord's sake and for the Lord's glory. Jesus on the cross has seemed to have failed. The two went away, did they not, from Jerusalem on the Emmaus Road, devastated and disillusioned. We had hoped. All our hopes are now gone and now finished. And they didn't realise, did they, that the risen Lord Jesus walked beside them. And he breaks bread with them. And he expounds the scriptures to them. And then when he left, their eyes were opened. And they reflect on his discourse with them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. So Jesus has the victory. His resurrection pledges this. It was a cheap temptation. Then lastly, it was a defeated temptation. One word from the scripture. One word. Worship the Lord and serve him only. This is a great encouragement to us. You shall worship the Lord your God and him only. Him only shall you serve. Well, that should be our life principle. That should be mine. My friends, that should be yours as well. The Lord supreme, the Lord ruling, the Lord reigning. To obey his word and to know his presence and his blessing. What an encouragement. We say no to the devil. We say no to compromise. We say yes to the Lord and we follow him come what may. May it be so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're singing a hymn together and then we shall have a prayer session, and after this hymn we'll perhaps ask Paul to lead in terms of prayer requests and needs. 500 and